Okay, let's see. I gotta get my finger so it won't make any noise. All right. Well, let's go back to Vietnam. I think maybe what we want to do is that. So, how old were you when the war began in Vietnam?
The war began in Vietnam. Actually, I remember it started in 1960-some, about 1960-some. And it started, I can say, about 1960-some. I don't remember exactly what year, but it's getting worse in about 1966, 67, 68 was the worst during that time.
And when did you go into the service?
I was in the service in 1971 until 1975.
And what did you do in the service?
I was a paratrooper at that time.
A paratrooper?
Yes, I was a paratrooper.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me go over here to Tien now. This is Tien. Tien, what did you, what were you, when, how old were you when you remember the war happening and, you know, when did you get involved?
I remember the war in Vietnam start in 1960. At that time, some of the communists who stayed behind in South after the country divided by Tupac, they start to form that they call, I forgot the name, but at that time, in 1963, when I was about 14 years old, the war started more from the countryside, go to from one province to another province. And at that time, I know a little bit about the war because I still in high school. And when 1990, when I had 20 years, I will go to the army to fight for the freedom from the South.
1970?
Yeah, 1970.
You would go into the war?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so you knew that you would then that you would go to fight?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And what were your reasons for wanting to fight?
The first thing, because we know about communists. When they come, that means you don't have freedom. Most of the young men in Vietnam who were trapped or who were volunteer, they know what they need to do to protect the South from the North, because the North is communist. And when the communists come in, we don't have freedom what we have before the war started.
Do you agree with that? Is that about where you were as well?
Yes, that is. I totally agree.
Okay. So how old were you now when you went into the service?
I was joining in the service when I was about 17.
About 17.
Yeah,
okay.
Almost 18.
Okay. And you began, and they trained you there to be a paratrooper?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was trained over there in the South.
And Tien, what did you do in the service? What was your job?
My job in the service, I was in the Army. He was in airborne, I was in the Army, and I spent almost 5 years. I was trained about 9 months. And before they sent me out, and I served for 5 years and moved around country depending on where they needed.
And did you ever work with American soldiers?
Yeah, because all of the army at that time, they do have the American soldiers go with them. Yeah.
So you were always working with American soldiers?
Not always, but we have contact with them.
Okay. Is that true for you?
Yes, that is the same. We only have the advisor, American advisor from the commander. They only work with the commander from the battalion commander or the commander of the division. That's what they are doing.
Okay. Good. So we get to the point, Tien, where you are taken away to a re-education camp. Is this before or after the fall of Saigon?
It's after. After the fall of Saigon. Saigon fall in the end of April, and after that, about, I think, less than a month, they call all of us come to study the new life, the new thing, and they told us only 10 days. And when we went, we hope that 10 days, and after that we go home to build a new life. under the new government, whatever they call. But that's a liar. When you went to the camp, not 10 days, not 10 months, some people, not 10 years either. So that's a liar. That's why I call a liar. And we went to a re-education camp. I spent almost 7 years in that.
7 years?
Yeah.
In the re-education camp. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about you? Tao, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And I want to make sure I identify that your name is Tao each time, because otherwise we'll get confused. How about you?
I was a soldier, so I got only 3 days. And that was exactly 3 days in the camp.
And what did you do during those 3 days?
During those 3 days, we had to listen. And whatever they say, that what we did for the old government, that we did was totally wrong, because we did something bad against the our people.
So were you made to write down?
They asked us to write down everything we did when we were in the service.
And then they said?
And they said that was totally wrong, because you did something against your country.
Yes. Okay. And Tian, how was it different for you? Why did you end up staying so long?
Because I think the communist government, they're afraid of us. They want to keep us away. So nobody can fight back. Nobody can get back the freedom we lost. You know, that's why they want to put all of the people who they think can maybe organize some group to again them. That's why they put all of us into go to the jungle. Yeah, and they call re-education. But exactly that, you had to go to labor camp.
So the labor camps were in the jungle?
Yes, most of them.
Oops. Okay, well, do you want to answer that?
No, I turn it off.
Okay. Ooh, it's warm in here. Okay, so you, but he only got 3 days and you got 7 years. Somehow, Tian, that doesn't seem fair.
Okay, I know that, but because that, when the committee come in, the people who work for government, who go to the army, and they treat it differently between the soldier and the officer. Okay. Tao is soldier, so he only have spent 3 days. But officer, before we went to the camp, they told us only 10 days. And that's what we believe, because we saw the soldier only 3 days, and they go home. No? That's why we believe that. But when we went to the camp, and we hope 10 days we will go home, 10 days passed. We did not go home. We hope, oh, maybe a month, a couple months. But time went by, 1 year, 2 years, and after that we know everything is a liar. And so we don't know who can get out. Because the people who let you out of the camp, not the people who control the camp, but the people, some above, then they decide, and you never know. Some people may have 3 years, some people may have 5 years, some people may have 10 years. Depend on what all kind of condition around them.
Okay. So you go to the it's not re-education. What is it called?
They call it almost just like a camp, but they do it in the city, in wherever we live. And so they get, for me, that is just a trap for those people. So at first they did it. Actually, at first they planned to route up all the paratrooper and the Marine. At first, that's what they planned, all the Marine and the paratrooper and all the officer, because that's what they believe, the strong force to fight against the government. But later on, they changing it. They changed it. They said, okay, no, they will do it from sergeant up to officer, and then later on they change it. They make it all just the officer. But in order to put all the officer away, they make it all the soldier go to the camp first. They did an example. They did the people, we got 3 days, and we were released. And so they trapped these people. They said, oh, you see, they got only 3 days, and you got only 10 days. And the 10 days, it can last for 10 years. It can be 15 years, 20 years. It depends on, they rank it. They said, how you serve for the algorithm, what you did. Whatever you did, and they said that it was dangerous, you will stay longer.
So I'm getting that they thought that maybe Tian would be the kind of person who would cause trouble and maybe get the war started again somehow. Yeah. Okay. Before, I know that you can't stay very long, and I really want to hear your opinion. Let me make sure, just a minute. You talked earlier about someone you knew who had gone up to Washington recently to express his opinion about the to the Vietnamese emissary who came here recently. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Was it you or was it Tian? Oh, it was you. Okay, all right. Tian, then would you tell us about that?
Yeah, that I tell a story about the person from Portland, Oregon. His name is Binh Quốc Huynh, and he came to the conference, the press conference, with all of the people up in Seattle, Washington, when the Vietnamese Communist Prime Minister Phan Van Khai came in. And
would you say his name again?
Khai.
The Vietnamese emissary. What was his name?
His name is Khai, Phan Van Khai.
Phan?
Van Khai.
Phan Van Khai.
Yes.
C-A-I?
Mm-hmm. He the first leader of the communist leader of, from Vietnam, come to the United States in 30 years to meet with business people here and to meet with President Bush about the relationship between Vietnam and United States. You know. And in the meeting, he said something about the good life in Vietnam, about how they treat the people, about how the freedom of the Vietnamese people, they get it now. But basically, we Vietnamese people outside of the country, like people living in the United States, we know that's a liar.
Now, you know that's a lie. How do you know today that it has not changed? Do you know people in Vietnam who would have said that they are lying still?
Yes, because they say have their freedom, everything freedom. But over there, I know a lot of people, like some of the religion leader, some of the people who express the idea about freedom, about democracy in the internet. The government, the communist government, they put them in the prison. They put away. If you want to say something about freedom, about democracy, they not allow you to do it.
Is that your experience as well? Do you know people in Vietnam?
That is what I totally agree, and it is so true in Vietnam. And even though that the Prime Minister of Vietnam right now come to America and say that the people in Vietnam are totally free to do whatever they want, but that is not true. That is only what they are saying. But back there is people are not really have their freedom to express their feeling or their religious or the political. Because back now in Vietnam, you see that there is only one party and they don't believe in whatever you believe. Even here, let's say we have a two or three party, but back there is only one party and only one party run the country. That's all.
Have you been back to Vietnam since?
Yes, I came back twice and I see that there is some change. But the change is way too slow and way too far for what we're seeing it. For the people back in Vietnam, maybe they see it, that is some change. But for us over here, that is 20 years behind. That's how I'm seeing it.
What kind of freedoms would you like to see people there have today that you're pretty sure they don't have?
For me, I would like to see that the people in Vietnam would have the freedom to express their feeling and their concern or whatever they believe. But right now, they don't having it. For example, you see, like people in the Buddhist temple or in the Catholic, they are whatever they talk, they are not quite freely to expressing it. And especially talking about politics, if beside the communists, people cannot talk about any other party. Period.
And what about freedom of religion? Do you think they have it there?
Not exactly like what people believe or what people would like to be or people would like to have. That is only what the government say, but not what the people have.
Wait
just a minute. This is Tian speaking now.
Foreigner, I know some of like the monk, Buddhist monk, and some of the Catholic leader still in jail now. Like Linh Mục Nguyễn Văn Lý, like Thượng Tọa Thích Quang Độ, or some of the people who attract the idea like Luật sư Nguyễn Hồng Quang, he a lawyer, and some of like the doctor Nguyễn Đăng Quế, who jail for years, and they get out, and they if the communist let them go home, they attract the idea again, they go back to prison again. That all kind of the communist country, the communist government, they say they allow you to do everything. They only put in jail the people who not obey the law. But what do you mean when you attract your idea? You attract your idea, and you not do anything. You not overthrow the government or you fight anything. You just attract your idea about freedom, about democracy, and they don't like it. They put you in jail. Where the freedom from? For same example like that, you see? That's why the Nguyễn Quốc Bình, he in the meeting up in Seattle, Washington, he pointed a finger to Mr. Khai, and he said, "You are a liar. You know, everything you said in here in front of American people, you're a liar." That's why I want to tell you that story.
How did Khai respond to that?
He said something like, "You don't understand because you not go back to Vietnam. You didn't see anything yet, so you don't understand." That's what he said. And after that, he tells some of organized people who organized the press meeting, escort Bin out of the meeting, not allow Bin to talk anymore.
Bin is your friend?
No. I just know him on the news. I didn't know him.
So he was escorted out of the press conference?
Yes. And another thing come up in Washington, too, when he went over there, too. And in the meeting, one lady, I don't remember it exactly her name, she said the same thing, too. She said about, you say all of the women and the children of Vietnamese now have the all kind of benefit right now. But over there, they still have some sell women for prostitutes, sell children for prostitutes too. And that lady, she stand up and she asked Khai about that. And again, they escort her out of the meeting.
Who escorted her?
The people who organized the meeting.
Americans.
American and some of Vietnamese who work for Vietnam embassy here, I think. Yeah.
Before you go, I would like for you to have an opportunity to say why you think it's important for people in America, especially young people, to have a better understanding of what it means to have a country taken over by people who want to go the communist way.
For me, as I say, I would never want to see American or America taken over by other country. Especially, I spent about a few years with the communists. That time was very, very difficult for me and for all the people from the South.
How was it difficult? Tell us how it was difficult.
It's very hard to explain it to people, to seeing it. But for us, for example, at that time, even many years ago, but at that time, we could not get together. More than three people, you cannot have more than three people sit and talk. You can, at that time, you could not travel from one city to the other. You could not do what you would like to do. That was the difficult under the communists. Even now, many years later, they said they have been changing. Yes, they have been changing, but the changing was very little compared with what we have here in America.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that, and I want to say something more a little bit. You know, the reason we don't like the communist because we know the communist, first thing, it doesn't work. That doesn't make people better like. You know? For example, you see, before 1975, South Vietnam compared with another country in Southeast Asia, you see, we either better or the same like Thailand, Singapore, or something like that. And now, 30 years after the communist took it over, you look at it, Southeast Asia, we are at the bottom. Where the benefit of the people we get from the communist? I don't think so. I don't see it yet. They say the chaining. I agree. But you see how many steps? Vietnam chain. Couple steps. Better than before, right? But you compare, you see Thailand, you see Singapore, you see Korea, South Korea. You see how many steps they step in 30 years? 10 steps? 20 steps? Do you agree with that? You know? No, I don't think anybody can agree with that when we compare. The Vietnamese communist government, they change it. They allow people to do more work because if they don't do that, they not survive. You see in Europe, you see the communist around the world, it doesn't work. They have to change. They know that. They change it not because of the benefit of the people, but they change it because they want to survive. They want to control people. They want to stay in power. That's why they have to change.
We had a time in this country when people, even Americans, were accused of being communists. Because of those political ideologies, some of them were imprisoned. And in America, we have the belief that you ought to be able to say what you think, but that you shouldn't be sent to jail because you said it or because you believe it. Yeah. If you believe in the communist way, generally speaking, I think we want to say, as long as you don't force anyone to do anything, you're allowed to say that it's the right thing. We don't want to get to the, my opinion is that we don't want to get to the point where there's the communist scare and everybody kind of goes crazy and puts people in jail and makes them lose their whole livelihood because they say they're communists. What do you say to that?
I say like that. I will support the communist. If the communists allow people do the thing like you said, they can express the idea. Nobody put the MGL because they express the idea. They bring it better life for the Vietnamese people. I am the first one who support the communists, but I know they won't do that, and they never do that. And you can see in history of all of the country of communist country what they do and what they bring to their people. That's why we want the young generation understand why we don't like the communist, why the world passed more than 30 years, we still keep things that way, because we understand that. And we see that the young people in here, they make things a different way. And I understand that, because they didn't went through of that. They don't understand communist very clearly, like we did, because we live with that, we have experience with that, and we understand what they are, what they want to do.
And this is Tao.
This is something I would like to add what Ever Tien said. For the young American, I would like you to go to Cuba, to go to North Korea, to stay over there for, let's say, 30 days and live with them. I would like you to ask them, to beg them to do whatever you can in your power, in their power, let you travel freely in Cuba and in North Korea so that you will have a true experience living with the communists and what the communists look like. Otherwise, we are talking here, communist freedom, you have no idea what it look like. But if you got a chance, please, I would highly recommend it. Go to visit North Korea, Cuba right now. Even China, and go freely, ask them to go wherever. Don't let the government say, you have to stay in this city, and you stay in this city. No, don't do that. Ask them to do wherever you would like to be, so that you get a real experience with the community, and then you got a picture to look at it, to live with it. And then you come back and you go say, I appreciate what we have here in America, and what the freedom look like.
I can tell you that I came home from China with exactly that thought in my head, that I was very glad to return home, very glad. And it wasn't because I saw anything specific, but I saw people being harassed by police on the corners, and I mean really harassed. I saw police with sticks in their hands, and, you know, you saw people moving away from them. There was just a flavor of fear that you could feel every once in a while. Not always, but and there were a lot of police. I think that was the other thing that I noticed, is there were a lot more police than you would ever see here. So I understand what you're saying. Okay. What about when you came here? Well, I want to hear a little bit about the re-education camp. I'd like to know what a typical day there would have been like for you, Tien.
Yeah, I think that every camp we had the same. In a typical day, we wake up early in the morning when they have the bell ring, and all of us stay in one room, you know, and they lock it outside.
How many people in a room?
Usually about 40 or 50 people in the room, you know.
Sleeping on the floor?
We have a bunk bed, you know, sleep it one row above and one row below, you know. And the one group or two group inside one room. And at about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, depend on what camp, you know, and we wake up, they let us get out, do a little bit clean up, and they give us one couple of potato, sweet potato or something like that. And after that, they have another bell.
Wait, so they give you one sweet potato, something to drink?
No, something to eat it before you go out for work, for labor work.
But something to drink?
No. You drink by yourself. You can get the water and take it home. Usually we have one person who take care about one prisoner like us who take care about the drink and the food for us. We go to the kitchen and get the food and get the water, bring it back, and to give it to somebody who need that.
Okay. So you have your breakfast of one sweet potato.
Uh-huh. And after that, you have to go in the big hall or the big campsite, and they will call one group by one group, go out to work, labor work on the campsite until noon.
What kind of work are we talking?
All calf labor work. You see the on the field, you have to plant rice, you have to plant burrito, you have to...
I don't know what burrito is.
Potato and some kind of I don't understand some kind of land, but I don't really know how to say in English, you know. But the labor work, hard work in the field to make food. Okay,
for them, you're making food for whom?
We making food, and after that, when we get food, we have to bring it back to the camp for the people who control the camp, and they keep it. And they send it to somebody else for somebody need in the government. And they give it back a little bit for us to eat, to survive, to continue to work. Okay, so at noon when we have the break time for lunch, and we have another bowl of rice. And after that, 2 o'clock, we work again until 5 o'clock. And we go home, clean up a little bit, and get another bowl of rice. So usually you get two bowls, right, and one burrito a day for the whole 8-hour labor work, hard work.
For 7 years?
Yes.
You work 7 days a week?
Sometimes we work 7 days. Sometimes we have one day off on Sunday. And sometimes they do not allow you to have a day off. And they call it volunteer work for Community Day, whatever they call Socialist Day, whatever, and you had to work too.
So you celebrate by working.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's what you were saying when you said they would twist things somehow.
Usually we work from Monday to Friday, and Sunday we have 3 day. And suddenly they have the bell ring, and you had to work, and everybody say, oh my God, here we go again, you know.
And so you're talking hard labor?
Yes, it's really hard labor. That's why I have my lower back problem now, because we have to carry a lot of weight. Like when you have the rice and you take it back to the camp, we have to carry about more than 50 kilograms. I don't know how many pounds, about 60, 80 pounds.
80 pounds around?
No more than that, because you had to double, almost 100 pounds. Everybody had to carry it back, you know. That's how it works. And one more thing I want to say, you don't have enough food to eat to keep you strong. Okay. And when you get sick, you don't have medication to get you help you. So that's the problem. People have to die over there if they get sick or they don't have the family come in to feed them with more food or more medicine, something like that.
So some Sundays your family could come and bring you food?
Not some Sunday, but they allow you, usually about 2 months or 3 months, you can come to see it one.
And you can bring them food then?
Yes. For the first 2 years, we don't have anything. Our family didn't know where we were. They don't know. They not allow you to send the letter or any information home, so your family member know where were you.
So for 2 years, your family did not know where you were?
Absolutely not. And after 2 years, they allow us to send the letter back to our family to tell them where we were, and we're so happy to be here because we want to be a better person, something like that. That's what you have to write. If you want the letter, go to your house, to your wife, to your parent, to your whatever, in your family, you have to do that.
Now, when they took you away, had your daughter been born?
No, she not born yet. And she were born when I was in the camp.
So you really didn't see your daughter until you came to the United States.
Yeah, that's true. The first time I hugged her, I gave her a kiss when I came to the United States in 85. And I want to tell you one thing. Is that not only me or my family? 100,000 of Vietnamese people have the same thing like I went through.
100,000 people were in the prisons?
Yes. I think more than that. I think about 1 million people
were imprisoned by the communists.
Yes.
After the war.
Yeah. Because not only the people who were in army, people who worked for South government, who worked for the United States government, everybody go to the camp because they so afraid of us. They want to control us. They want to keep us away. And they control us by not let us eat enough. So we're so hungry. We're hungry all the time. We don't think anything else about hungry. So that's how they control us.
Was it all men or were there some women too?
I think some women too.
You did not see the women?
No, I did not.
And so you're with these people, the same people for 7 years?
No, they move us around. They move us around. A couple of years, they move from this camp to another camp.
How often would they move you?
In 7 years, I moved 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
So then your family again had to figure out where you'd gone.
Yes, yeah, until we send back some information so they know where we go and they will go to the new place.
So you're in the camp and your daughter has been born and your mother comes to see you, not Quy.
I think Quy went to see me about 4 or 5 times before she left the country with my daughter.
And you told her to leave?
Yeah, I told her. I told her, whatever, you have a chance, just get out of the country. Don't wait for me because I never know when I go. She didn't want to go that time. She said, no, I'm waiting for you. I say, no, don't wait for me. I don't know when I come back home.
That must have been very hard for you, Tien.
Yes, I think. Because, tell you the truth, inside me, I want to see her all the time, you know. After 2 months, 3 months, I want to see, go to the camp to see me, because that's how to keep me survive. But I want, if I do that, my daughter and my wife have terrible life here. Just get out of country, please. That's what I told her, you know. And 1 year, I remember it in 1981. For almost a year, nobody come to see me. And finally, my mom come to see me, and she told me, you want your daughter in the United States now, you know. I didn't go to sleep for 3 days.
When you found out they were gone?
Mm-hmm. Because, like I said before, beside me, I'm so happy for them, you know. And I know they have a future. They have a better life now. But beside it, I think I never see them again, you know. How can I see them? I live in the jungle and see in America. You know, I don't know when I can get out, go back to my house. How if I can go have a chance to go back to my house? How can I get to the United States? Nobody know at that time. You know?
Must have seemed impossible.
Yeah, I think that time that exactly what I think impossible. I never see them again.
So 7 years go by, and then how did you get out of the camp?
Yes, finally they let me out. And when I
tell us about that day.
The day that usually nobody know. We just have like the rumor around. Okay, next week we have 10 people, 20 people will go home because they talk around. But you never know who can take around. And the day come, that the day when you go, before you get out of camp and go to work, they will call the name for 10 people, 5 people, 20 people, 50 people, depend on the other. Stay home. So you know you have a chance to go home.
If you stay and don't go out in the jungle, you know you're going to leave.
Yeah. We hope, because before that we had a rumor. Okay, they will have the time to let some people go home, you know. So when you're so happy when they call your name.
But there's no warning, there's no reason given for letting you go finally after 7 years?
No, no. Like I said before from the beginning, the people who let you out, not the people who at the camp, you know, somebody else. Even they say, if you get good re-education, you work hard, you change your mind, you change your thinking, you will go home early. That's what they said. But that not happened that way.
They just kept you because they wanted to keep you.
Exactly.
No reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry I kept you out of 7 years of your life.
Yeah. That's why when we get out, we have no life over there. That's why we have to escape from the country to get some freedom for our life, to get back our life to normal people. That's all we want when we escape the country. Even we know you may die on the sea. You know that. I think about 400,000 to 500,000 people die on the sea because of the storm, because of the pirates or something like that. But people just go.
So you got out of the re-education camp what year?
I get out in 83, and I escaped from the country in 84, and I get to the United States in 85.
And how did you escape?
I escaped by boat. I have to pay the money. My mom still had the money, and my mom connect with some people who organize the escape by boat, and we pay them the money. At that time, we pay by gold bar. And we escaped on a boat and went by the sea for 4 days and 3 nights before we get to Indonesia.
So no pirates? You didn't run into pirates?
No, we did not. We go direct from Vietnam to Indonesia.
How about you, Tao? How did you escape?
Same thing. We escaped by boat. But my story is a bit different because my uncle, right at the time he get out of the camp, he came home and says, we have to escape fast.
So he had been in a re-education camp for how long?
For about more than 3 years. And then when he came home, and he said, yes, we have to go. We have to go right away. And so he get together with his friend, and then we collect the money, and then we bought a boat, and then we fixing it, and then we escaped.
So you had your own boat?
That is true, that my uncle and his friend, and we work together, and we get our own boat, and we escape by our own boat.
And you didn't run into the pirates either?
Luckily, we did not. And I just say that we were very, very lucky because we did many things. And I say, until this point, I say, if we do it again, it probably we should not doing it because at that time we got a weapon. The first thing I say, if they caught us, probably they would shot us right on the spot because I myself got some grenade and we got weapon on our boat. And you see that number one is paratrooper is number one enemy. Paratrooper and Marine was number one enemy for the government. And here I am a former one with a few grenades at home. And when we were on board, we'd carry everything with me. And that was, if they got us, I will never see the sun again, period.
And you ended up in the camps where?
We made it to Malaysia. So luckily, my uncle and his friend got together with a good friend, and we got some Navy officer. and he got good experience with the sea, and so we met only 3 days and 2 nights. We came to Malaysia.
I want to talk a little bit about what it's been like to be here and whether or not, since you've been here, you have experienced any prejudice or ugly kind of behavior from American people.
One thing I just say, I would like to talk about a good thing, because if I was in Vietnam, I never get a chance to go to college, period. First, in Vietnam, there was only a few universities. And especially if you serve for the old government, you have no chance, period. So I just say, when I come here, for me personally, I say that is very, very good chance for me to go back to school. And I enjoy every minute of it when I got a chance to go to school.
So what kind of education have you gotten?
Over here, at first I went to college to get some technical, and then... So I learned some technical skills so that I can go to work. And later on, I got a bachelor's degree in communication. And right now, I try to get a higher education in the Chinese medicine. That's what I'm doing.
In Chinese medicine?
Yes, that's correct.
So what will your specialty be?
In the future, I would like to do what I can do to help the people in the community, in general community, not just Vietnamese community. In pain, insomnia, back pain, neck pain, or internal, or that is what I feel I am very comfortable with.
Great. And Tien, how about you? I know you don't want to say anything particularly negative, but we know that you have experienced prejudice, and we know that kids have experienced prejudice. And I think it helps for people to talk about it a little bit so that we understand better. Is my only point.
The bad experience would be sometimes people look at us as Oriental, and probably some people will say, you are not smart, or you are at a low level than we are. One thing I would like, people always think that people have the same thinking, same feeling like what you are, regardless of what people look like, or what their shape, or what they look like. So always remember, be respect. Even people cannot speak or communicate exactly the way you are feeling or hearing, but remember, people have people are very smart, and the feeling and the way they are thinking are very much the same. And so I would like all the young people here in America, be respect to others regardless of what they look like.
Ken?
Okay, about me, about the experience in here.
Let me just say that you got off the boat, and you ended up where?
I ended up in Indonesia, and I spent almost a year in Indonesia before I came to United States to reunite with my wife and my daughter.
So you had not seen your wife No, it wasn't 7 years, because you did see her while you were in the camp.
Yeah, I didn't see my wife almost 9 years. No, I separated from her almost 9 years. And I haven't seen her from almost 6 years, because when she before she left the country in 1980, I didn't see her. And she get to United States in 81. And I seen her again at 95. That means almost 6 years, 5 years, something.
So you come to the United States, and was your daughter at the airport?
Yes. And I still remember that now. She looked at me. She know I'm her dad, but she never see me before. So she just stand over there and look at me. And I hug her, and I cry, and she just look at me, and she just say, "Dad," that's all.
And so Kui was living with her sister at this time?
Yes, correct. Kui and my daughter lived with her sister in a house in Milwaukee. And when we came here about 2 weeks, and we moved out to the apartment with my own family.
And what was the process then for you here?
When a sister come here, you know, it's very difficult for me because with broken and leg, and in Vietnam, I was in the army. I don't have any special skill to get a better life here. So at that time, my wife told me, I will go to work and you go to school and get better education, better training so you can get better life here. And I said, I know that. I will do that. But I go to work too. Because, you know, all the Vietnamese people, the men in family, have to take care of their family. I know my wife had to take care of the whole family, take care for my daughter for a long, long time. When she was in Vietnam and when she in here. Now I have to share that. I cannot just go to school, you know. Also, that's why I say that's very difficult for me because I had to go to school at day and work at night. And again, broken English, that's really big problem for all of Vietnamese refugees when they get to here, you know. It's hard for me to understand when I was in class. I have to listen, I have to look at, and I have to read the book almost over so that I can understand. But I know I'm not for the rest of my life like that. If I try hard for a short period of time, few years, I will get my better life here, and that's what I did.
So you went to college?
Yes, went to college, get a degree, and after that I go to work, and now I'm a state worker.
And what do you do for the state?
I do in the roadway in ODOT to do the design work or repair work.
Graphics?
Yes, in graphics. Work on computer.
So you decide how the road will be fixed?
Not exactly. Somebody else decide, not me.
But you must have something to do with making it well.
Yeah, I got my part on that one, but I not decide it.
I know, I would probably not understand what you would tell me. Well, I thank you two very, very much for speaking with me today.
No problem. I just try to let people know how hard for the Vietnamese people who escaped from country come to here. And the main thing we come to here because our freedom. We don't have it in Vietnam. That's why we had to escape from here. And here I really, really appreciate what the country did to me. Give me back my life, my family, and my future too. I cannot do it if I were in Vietnam.
Tao?
So thank you, especially thank you the American and the U.S. government for open up to helping the Vietnamese people, especially us, the people who serve for the old government. And one more time, and the last time, I would like people who have thinking or have some idea about Marx and Lenin, about the communists, please got a chance to go to visit Cuba and North Korea and then ask them to go to visit where you would like to be, not just where the government would like you to be, to visit where you would like to be, and then come back here and appreciate what we have here in America. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you say what you wanted to say?
Yep.
I hope so. A lot of people want to say.